This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
White House immigration proposals. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Monday, October 9. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
As part of any legislation focused on immigration reform, the White House is demanding things like construction of a border wall and fewer legal arrivals.
Hollywood power figure Harvey Weinstein has been fired by the company he founded after the New York Times detailed sexual misconduct allegations.
The National Rifle Association says it does not want an outright ban on the so-called bump stock devices used by the Las Vegas gunman.
And four simple money questions that too many Americans cannot answer.
Today, the first question was, which of the following statements describes the main function of the stock market? Some people thought that the stock market results in an increase in the price of stocks. They thought that was its main function. A lot of people just said, I'm not sure, but not that many people got this right, less than half. And the younger you are, the more likely you are to get it wrong.
Katie Hill at moneyish.com has a pop quiz on Finance 101. You can take it in about 20 minutes. Well, the White House has sent Congress a list of demands for immigration legislation. Included are complete construction of a border wall and sharply cutting the number of new legal arrivals. Lawmakers are about to begin debate over whether to legalize young people brought to the U.S. illegally as children. They'll lose work permits and protection from deportation starting in March. California Congressman Adam Schiff is turning thumbs down.
The president knows well that a wall is off limits. It's never going to be acceptable to Democrats. And to include that with a whole host of other xenophobic measures is just, I think, devastating to people all over the country that are wondering what their future is going to bring.
Ron Vitello is Deputy Commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
That's why we are recommending the construction of a border wall along our southern border, which will be an invaluable tool to deter human trafficking, drug trafficking, and the spread of deadly cartel violence.
The document also calls for punishing jurisdictions that don't cooperate with federal immigration enforcement, so-called sanctuary cities, by withholding federal grant money. Well, Hollywood is reeling right now. The board of directors at Weinstein Company has fired co-chairman Harvey Weinstein, citing allegations of sexual misconduct by one of the highest profile producers. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The New York Times published an article Thursday alleging that Mr. Weinstein had paid confidential settlements to at least eight women. They said he requested massages, took meetings in the nude, and offered to trade career advancement in exchange for sexual favors. Harvey Weinstein was among the most skilled executives at convincing A-list talent to work with his studio, which may be why there's been barely a public response from the showbiz elite since the article. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. And on that note, actress Rose McGowan, who The Times reported received a settlement from Mr. Weinstein following allegations of sexual misconduct, has repeatedly urged more actors to come forward. She tweeted, quote, "Ladies of Hollywood, your silence is deafening." The National Rifle Association is saying it will oppose an outright ban on bump stock devices that the killer in the Las Vegas massacre used to turn rifles into automatic weapons. The powerful lobbying group surprised gun control advocates last week when it issued a statement voicing willingness to support a restriction on bump stocks. But yesterday, Wayne LaPierre, executive vice president of the NRA, clarified. He told CBS's Face the Nation that he was open to regulation but opposed any legislation banning the devices.
I mean, the outrage they're trying to stir against the NRA, they ought to be stirring against a mental health system which is completely collapsed. All the police officers know it. They're back on the streets. We've dumped it on the police officers. We ought to enforce the federal gun laws.
Police said the gunman in last Sunday's shooting fitted 12 of his weapons with bump stock devices that allow semi-automatic rifles to operate as if they were fully automatic machine guns, which are otherwise outlawed in the U.S. Several Republican lawmakers suggested they were open to curbing the use of bump stocks, including House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow if you like a little cynicism and sarcasm. You can follow me directly on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. The motive remains a mystery in the Las Vegas massacre. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal pieced together a profile of gunman Stephen Paddock, and it doesn't fit one of a serial killer, which is what's so puzzling to authorities. He went from a broken home to real estate riches. Here's reporter Valerie Borlein. Valerie, what'd you guys find?
We really tried to build a chronology, Gordon, from the day he was born until the day this happened, and really looked for themes or clues, just like I think everyone else in this country is doing, as to what went wrong. And it became pretty evident, he was 7 years old when his dad got into the shootout with federal agents, I mean, literally down the street from where this shooting happened. So there just seemed to be a lot of resonance there, and that was kind of the starting point that we went out with the story.
Yeah, so his father was described as by the FBI as a psychopath, as you point out, when he was on their most wanted list. Odd, though, this shootout that his father was in, right, downtown Las Vegas, not on the Strip. But has anybody said that there must be something further to look at there?
With the father, I think his father had really been living a secret life. So the dad was, he had four boys, seven and under. The youngest was 6 months when he was arrested in that shootout. And he'd been selling garbage disposals in Tucson in the 1950s, which was a real growth business, you know, post-World War II. So the dad had had kind of this secret life. But I'm not sure. I think what we're told is that the authorities have looked closely to see if there was any relationship or any alignment between the father and son, but have not found that there was necessarily in terms of being in touch and all that.
I know you've talked to the shooter's brothers, and it really is a broken family, right?
It really is. There are four boys, and Stephen Paddock, the shooter, was the eldest. And then one brother is in the wind and hasn't been heard from in a number of years. The youngest brother lives in Orlando around the corner from the Paddock's mother, who Stephen Paddock bought a home for. So those two are the closest in touch, but it's not the way the youngest brother describes their relationship over the years, it's not reciprocal. Mm. It's very much on Stephen Paddock's terms. And then the third brother lives in Tucson, not far from where they grew up, and hasn't been in touch with the family for 20 years. It's a very, very fractured family.
Mm. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Valerie Borlein. She was part of a team that put together a story entitled From Broken Home to Real Estate Riches, The Life of the Las Vegas Shooter, who you point out seemed to be very well off, right? He was generous to the people he was close with.
He was. He was. He had kind of the traditional American success story. He grew up poor with a single mom who was a secretary after the dad went to the prison. And she moved to California, started over. He, you know, went to working class high school, went to a commuter school, and then became an IRS agent and really worked his way up to owning one rental house after another until he made several million dollars in rental properties. So there was an element of kind of up from your bootstraps with him that we saw.
Not playing a junior shrink here, but anybody say the mom lying about what happened to the dad played a role here at all? Because the boys didn't mom said that he died in a car crash when he was in prison, and the boys didn't find out till what, they were in their 20s?
That's true. And we don't know. The mom was she is living. She's 89 years old. She lives in Florida. She was adamant about not wanting to talk with reporters. So we obviously could not pose that question to her.
Yeah.
But the brothers we spoke with said it had a big impact on them, and they have vitriol and hate for their father for leaving them in that condition. And then also, you know, I think some resentment about not having known the truth for so many years.
Any of the investigators saying they're optimistic that they will learn something? Because I haven't seen that.
Well, it's just hard to know. It's so unusual because you think that you or I or anyone else, even if you leave a Yelp review for your favorite restaurant, you leave some sort of footprint that's findable. And he had virtually nothing on, at least, you know, public social media that we've seen. So I think they're hoping there'll be something in the computers and in his correspondence over the years, but we just don't know. And the information that investigators have said in the past 24 hours that he looked at other venues and other concerts in other cities really gives some credence, they say, to the idea that this was not ideological. He wasn't mad at any particular group, country music fans, rap fans, people in one place or another. He just wanted to do something on a big scale.
Thanks, Valerie. Wall Street Journal reporter Valerie Borline. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Important Hurricane Nate brought a burst of flooding and power outages to the Gulf Coast before weakening rapidly, sparing the region the kind of catastrophic damage left by a series of hurricanes that hit the southern U.S. and Caribbean in recent weeks. It was a Category 1 hurricane when it came ashore outside Biloxi early yesterday, producing winds that damaged this resident's house.
I heard something like a train, just like an Amtrak train, just roaring and just glass just flying like bullets.
Nate, the first hurricane to make landfall in Mississippi since Katrina in 2005, quickly lost strength with its winds diminishing to a tropical depression as it pushed northward into Alabama towards Georgia with heavy rain. Digital marquees along the Las Vegas Strip went dark for 11 minutes, beginning at 10:05 p.m. last night, marking exactly 1 week since a gunman massacred 58 people attending a country music festival there. More than 50 casinos, hotels, and other businesses agreed to turn off marquees and dim other lights in honor of the victims. An enraged President Trump and a prominent Republican senator who fears the country could be edging toward chaos are engaging in an intense and vitriolic back-and-forth bashing on social media. Trump yesterday laid bare his perceived grievances against retiring Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee. Corker returned fire, saying it's a shame the White House has become an adult daycare center. The allegations against Harvey Weinstein span three decades. His downfall came in 3 days. That was all it took to topple one of Hollywood's most high-profile moguls, a producer who regularly dominated the Academy Awards. Weinstein was ousted last night from the company he co-founded and that bears his name, following a New York Times expose that detailed years of sexual harassment allegations against Weinstein. The Weinstein Company co-chairman was fired by his brother and three other directors on the film's company's board. It won the box office race, but Blade Runner 2049 didn't do much more than that. The sequel to the 1982 sci-fi classic had a weak debut, taking in $31.5 million over the weekend. The movie cost at least $150 million to make. Number two this weekend was The Mountain Between Us, followed by It, My Little Pony, the movie, and Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
Yikes. Just check my math here. But that puts this new Blade Runner movie about 119 mil in the hole.
Yeah.
After only getting 31 mil on the first weekend.
They're going to have to hope it does well overseas.
Thank you, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. We've got a pop quiz for you about some economics 101. With age comes financial wisdom, or so it seems from a recent survey about a set of basic financial questions. Boomers overall did better than millennials. Here's a look at the questions and what they scored from Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com. Katie, ask away.
Today, the first question was, which of the following statements describes the main function of the stock market? The correct answer I'm going to read first. The stock market brings people who want to buy stocks together with people who want to sell them. Less than half of people got that right. Some people thought that the stock market helped predict stock earnings. Some people thought that the stock market results in an increase in the price of stocks. They thought that was its main function. A lot of people just said, I'm not sure, but not that many people got this right, less than half. And the younger you are, the more likely you are to get it wrong.
Jeez. And this was not a survey of seventh graders, correct?
No, this is a survey of 2,300 adults, millennials, boomers, you name it. And they just couldn't figure out what the main function of the stock market is. You know, I mean, that's not good. They got money in their 401ks, one would presume. They don't really know what's going on. You know, it was a little bit disturbing. And these were very simplified answers, too, but people just thought, you know, a lot of people thought that the stock market helps predict stock earnings. I thought that was what its main function was.
Jeez. So if you're Wells Fargo, having done this survey, you're thinking, terrific, we can now offer more financial guidance and services. But I mean, generally speaking, I mean, this is some basic stuff that we really ought to know.
Correct. Yeah, you should probably know what the stock market does once you've hit adulthood. You know, at the age of 18, you should probably be knowing that before you go off into the world. Question two. If you had $100 in a savings account and the interest rate was 2% per year, after 5 years, how much do you think you would have in the account if you just left the money there to grow? The answers are exactly $102, less than $102, more than $102, and not sure. Of course, the answer is more than $102 because the interest compounds, right? Again, a lot of people did not get this right. Only about fewer than 3 in 4 millennials got that right. Boomers did a little better. 82% got that right. But again, we're talking about a big chunk of the population who did not get that right.
Wow. It strikes me that that's just stuff that's not being taught.
Yeah, because that's pretty basic math there, right? You know, and then but still, people just got that wrong.
We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com, about her story entitled Four Simple Money Questions Many Americans Can't Answer. All right, take us through the final two questions here.
Okay, this number three. If the interest rate on your savings account was 1% per year and inflation was 2% per year, after 1 year, how much would you be able to buy with the money in your account? The answers were more than today, exactly the same as today, less than today, and not sure. Of course, you know, correct answer, less than today. But again, only about 40% of millennials got that right. Fewer than 3 in 4 boomers got that right. But that's sort of looking at, you know, where what happens to your money when inflation happens. And people kind of should know that, but they don't.
Mm. All right. What's the last question?
Last question, which provides a safer return, buying a single company stock or buying a mutual fund in general? A lot of people thought that the answer was single company stock. You know, it's generally the answer is a mutual fund. But again, we're talking about only about half of millennials got that right. About two-thirds of boomers got that right.
You write about this stuff a lot. Do you think those numbers are better or worse, say, over the course of the last 10 or 20 years? Are we less informed about money or more?
I think we're equally not informed. And, you know, it is promising or hopeful to me that the older you get, the more likely you know this, right? Because you've been doing your own finances to some degree or another. And so as we age, we tend to know more. So that was kind of hopeful to me.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you travel for business, stop wasting time pricing your flights and hotels at the same old sites. Visit Upside.com. It's quick and easy for Upside to show you the exact flights you're looking for and the big-name hotels you want. You can buy them separately or bundle them. See, the more you bundle, the more you save, the bigger the gift card you receive to places like Amazon.com. Every time you buy a business travel package using Upside, you'll get the VIP treatment while still paying low prices and being rewarded with gift cards every time you book a package. Oh, you'll keep your airline miles too. Upside's the real deal for buying your business trips. You got to give them a try. And right now, when you use the promo code DEAL, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon.com gift card on your package purchase. That's code DEAL to get a $100 gift card free. Upside.com, the better way to buy business travel. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. Upside.com and the code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It is Monday, October 9. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The White House identifies demands for immigration enforcement. Hollywood bigwig Harvey Weinstein fired for sexual harassment allegations. The NRA says it won't support an outright ban on bump stocks. Odell fractured his ankle. J.J. Watt fractured his shin. The trailer for the new Star Wars movie debuts during the Vikings-Bears game tonight. Might be the only reason to watch that game. Wait, what? And why a doomsday prepper gave away everything. That story in about 20 minutes. If President Trump's former chief strategist, Stephen Bannon, intends to target House Speaker Paul Ryan, Democrats will lend a hand. The Democratic Party's official campaign arm for House races is unveiling its first ad campaign of the 2018 cycle. And the cable television and radio blitz will prominently feature the Wisconsin Republican. It's a story from USA Today White House reporter Heidi Prisbella. Heidi, what's up here?
The Democrats had to decide when and how to launch their first ad campaign. And I think it is really interesting that instead of going for the top of the ticket when you see Trump's poll numbers the way that they are right now, that instead they decide to go ahead and help contribute to this civil war, brewing civil war within the Republican Party, and to go after the congressional leadership instead. In this case, they are launching very early in this cycle a significant vibe on television and on radio targeting Paul Ryan, not Trump. And I think what's happening here is that Paul Ryan's numbers, you know, are also low. Donald Trump's numbers are low. But I think that they're being very strategic about this, in that they know that anything they can do to kind of contribute to this end-of-the-year confrontation that may be coming in the Republican Party, especially if they don't get anything done on tax reform, that it will be congressional leadership who takes the fall, because that is what Steve Bannon certainly is teeing up, and Donald Trump may also contribute to, if the Obamacare repeal is any indication. He's all too happy to, you know, lay the blame at the feet of congressional leaders. Well, what does that ultimately lead to? Democrats think it leads to a big opportunity going into the midterms. If they've got both Republican primary voters and Democrats and swing voters also taking it out on members of Congress.
Mm. So is the thinking here in these ads for Democrats that they can unseat Paul Ryan, or they're just trying to associate him with other Republicans who are running?
Oh, no, and it's not just Paul Ryan. So this is a dual-pronged approach here. First of all, it's Paul Ryan. But secondly, what they want American voters to know is that even though this deadline for repealing Obamacare has come and gone at the end of September, they have done internal polling that shows them that this health care issue is a gold mine for them, that the numbers have shifted pretty dramatically on Obamacare, for instance, and they think that anything they can do to remind voters that as long as Republicans remain in control of the Congress, they will continue to come back and try to tackle that repeal. And so it's a way of basically keeping the health care issue front and center, which they feel is also politically advantageous for them if many Americans think, hey, as long as Ryan's in there, my health care is at risk.
Mm. We're speaking with Heidi Prisbella, White House correspondent at USA Today. She's written a piece entitled New Democratic Ads Would Give Steve Bannon an Assist in His War Against Paul Ryan and GOP Incumbents. So you point out the ads are mostly on MSNBC and CNN. Isn't that sort of speaking to the crowd if you follow those types of things?
Sure. They're not doing it on Fox News, but they're assuming that a lot of swing voters are watching CNN and MSNBC, as well as firing up the Democratic base, because that's what this comes down to in all of these elections, is who votes. You know, midterm elections don't get as much participation oftentimes as presidential years, but if they can really motivate their base with the thought of health care being at imminent risk, then they think that they can gin the numbers. They think that Donald Trump is already a motivating factor for a lot of Democratic primary voters, but this is not a presidential year. They want people to understand that Congress has a huge role in this and to participate as well in those midterm elections.
Is this a page sort of from the Republican playbook when they use Nancy Pelosi for things like this?
That's pretty funny, because actually when I went to the Republicans to respond to the story, they said, oh, this is just an effort to take away from the fact that Nancy Pelosi remains very unpopular in their own party. But look at a track record of recent leaders on both sides of the aisle. It's almost like a recipe for unpopularity these days for anyone.
Thanks, Heidi. USA Today White House reporter Heidi Prisbella. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories we'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you notice a little more traffic than normal at your local McDonald's over the weekend, and in some cases police presence, you might be wondering what the hubbub was about. It was all about sauce, apparently. A McDonald's PR stunt to bring back a rare dipping sauce left thousands of fans disappointed, with police called to some restaurants to help control the crowd. The Szechuan sauce, only produced once by McDonald's nearly 20 years ago, has become well known after being featured in the popular cartoon Rick and Morty.
In 1998, they had this promotion for the Disney film Mulan, where they created a new sauce for the McNuggets called Szechuan sauce, and it's delicious. And then they got rid of it, and now it's gone.
McDonald's then announced it would come back for one day only this past Saturday, but fans were left disappointed after stores ran out. In one video, police can be seen holding back people chanting, "We want sauce."
This actually happened.
Fans online said some restaurants claimed they were only given 20 pots of the sauce per venue, while others received none. Fans took to social media to vent their frustrations after being unable to get their hands on the out-of-production dip. According to the BBC, one couple posted they had driven for 4 hours to a restaurant stocking the sauce. But were left disappointed. Yes, pots of the sauce are now being listed on sale for sale online auction websites for hundreds of dollars.
You know what we need? We need the audio of some of those 911 calls.
911, what's your emergency?
Yeah, they ran out of Szechuan sauce at the McDonald's on 4th Street and Main.
Hey, you know what?
We'll send units over.
The police showed up, so, I mean...
They must have thought it was urgent enough.
This is unbelievable. For this one couple who drove the 4 hours, I was just kind of thinking off the top of my head other things you might do that would be more productive with your time. Like Jennifer, you could foster kittens.
Sure.
You could volunteer at your local church or soup kitchen. You could collect stamps.
There were apparently a lot.
Baseball cards. Yeah. Rent a movie with the family. Lots of things you could do then drive 4 hours.
There were apparently a lot of
4 hours there and then 4 hours home, Mike.
Yeah. We're not just talking one. We're talking thousands of people that had nothing to do this week.
My, oh, my.
Unlike you and I. And, Gordon, in other botched marketing news, even when the Chargers win, they can't help losing a little bit. After the new team in L.A. finished beating my 0-5 Giants for their first win of the season, the official Chargers Twitter account tweeted a celebratory promotion. When we win, you win, along with the promo code BOLTSWIN. That was good for a 20% discount on apparel at the team's pro shop. The problem was the graphic that was included in the promo also included an expiration date for the 20% off promotion, September 25th, indicating that the team's marketing department had expected the Chargers' first win to come a little sooner than October 8th. Twitter, as you might imagine, had a field day with the gaffe. The good news is the promo still worked, despite the graphic that wasn't properly updated, so exuberant Bolts fans can still pick up their Joey Bosa jerseys on the cheap.
Ah. You know, the Chargers were also winners yesterday because they got a New Jersey State Police escort.
Oh, did they?
Down the turnpike from MetLife Stadium to the airport.
Oh, really?
In their buses.
Yeah.
Along the shoulder of the road.
Wow, on the shoulder?
Yeah. I don't know if they had a charter flight. Like, is that really necessary that they have to do that?
I was going to say, they're not flying commercial.
Frustrating motorists like myself who were waiting in traffic as the Chargers buses zoomed down the highway.
Traffic not
on
good.
On the shoulder.
Yeah, on a good day, traffic not good on that part of the turnpike.
Right. So I actually captured some of that on video. I thought it was mildly entertaining. Not that I video and drive, but I guess technically I was at the time.
Hey, you know what? You beat the Giants. You're flying high. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're one in four Chargers now. Right? 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Thanks for being with us on this Monday, Columbus Day. Eating bananas on a daily basis could prevent heart attacks and strokes. A new study says bananas are rich in potassium, which you know, and such foods help in preventing arteries from hardening and also reduce the risk of blockages. Healthline.com points out that bananas contain a lot of nutrients. Apart from potassium, they contain fiber as well as several antioxidants, vitamin B6, vitamin C, magnesium, copper, as well as proteins. Bananas are good for improving digestive health. Those trying to lose weight can consume this fruit as it has low calories. Not only is it nutritious, but it's filling. They're a good midday snack, according to Healthline.com. Also says they lower the risk of heart attacks and help you in maintaining healthy blood pressure. Another item, those suffering from kidney stone problems should also consume bananas 4 to 6 times a week. May keep them away from health problems, too. Medical news today suggests adding a sliced banana to your breakfast meal, mashing them up and putting them in milk, or adding them to a milkshake or smoothie. Me, I like to coat them in either Nutella or peanut butter. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Ford and the NRA is opposing a ban on bump stocks, like the device used by the Las Vegas gunman to turn semi-automatic weapons into rapid-fire guns, stressing instead its support for more limited regulations. The powerful lobby last week surprised many gun control advocates by embracing possible restrictions on the devices. But yesterday, the NRA drew a line on an outright ban. CEO Wayne LaPierre appeared on CBS.
It's illegal to convert a semi-automatic to a fully automatic. ATF needs to do its job. They need to look at this and do its job.
Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein says she's frustrated by the NRA.
There are a lot of things that could be done to make it safer. But every single one has been opposed by a very powerful organization.
NRA's latest statements signal a rocky road ahead for action by Congress. Federal investigators returned to search the home of the Las Vegas gunman for redocumenting and rechecking the search of Stephen Paddock's 3-bedroom house in a retirement community in Mesquite, Nevada, came exactly a week after Paddock opened fire on a country music crowd, killing 58 and injuring nearly 500. Meanwhile, the officers who raided his hotel room door the night of the shooting gave a harrowing account of a barricaded door they had to bust through and the booby traps they feared they'd find. President Trump told congressional leaders his hardline immigration priorities must be enacted in exchange for extending protection from deportation to hundreds of thousands of young immigrants. Trump's list of demands include overhauling the country's green card system, a crackdown on unaccompanied minors entering the country, and building his promised wall along the southern border. Ron Vidiello of Customs and Border Protection says the wall is needed.
It will save lives and better protect agents on the front line as they secure the border.
Many of Trump's demands are policies Democrats say explicitly are off the table. Well, if you're a fan of California wines, brace yourself. You may soon take a hit in the pocketbook. The intensity and duration of heat waves this summer have taken a toll on vineyards in the Napa and Sonoma valleys. Up to 10% of this year's crop may be lost due to temperatures that were well over 100 for long stretches.
Yikes. That's not good. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. So a New Jersey man who spent decades preparing his home for doomsday is donating all of his stored food to families affected by Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. Joseph Badami lost his wife and was in the process of losing his Medford home when the 74-year-old met a couple raising money for their family affected by Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. The Associated Press says Mr. Badami made a $100 donation, then led the couple to the room where he stored all of his food. He had gathered 80 barrels of food that each could sustain 84 people for 4 months. Over the decades, he and his wife, Phyllis, equipped their basement with multiple kitchens and bathrooms, a bomb shelter, survival books. He estimated they spent close to $1 million on the project. Their prepping, though, was put on hold after Phyllis suffered a stroke in 2005 that left her paralyzed. Mr. Badami quit his job, took out a loan on the house, and spent his time caring for her. By the time his wife died, though, in 2013, he was broke. He said helping Puerto Rico gave him new purpose in life. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.